for tuning in to the Love Breezy Bree Yoga Podcast. My name is Bree, and you can find me at lovebreezybreeyoga.com. Check out the show notes for more information, including a link to my website. Thank you so much for listening. Namaste. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for you all being here. I believe everyone is on, so I see a bunch of really, really amazing faces. Let's take a moment. Let's get centered. I invite you to take in three deep inhalations. Open your mouth and let them out. Breathe. All right. So I believe we are entering into session number 4 of discussing Ayurveda, our doshas, how to apply this knowledge to your life immediately. And furthermore, getting you inspired to learn as much as you can about your life and how to invite a beautiful wellness system into your practice alongside with yoga, meditation, pranayama, study, all of it. It is such a wonderful discipline. There are many, many timeless wisdoms of this 5,000-year-old medical system. One of my favorite thoughts when I think about Ayurveda and the doshas is that your dosha is most addicted to what imbalances you. So you have to trust the dosha's balance and you'll crave what balances you. But everything is truly about creating new habits, learning new ways to treat yourself, and part of it's psychological, you know, relearning what it is that's instinctive to our mind and our body. When you really start delving deeper into this practice, it is understood that Ayurveda and your doshas are literally developed at the time of conception, to the point where, depending on the time of year that you were born, if you were born in Vata, Pitta, or Kapha time of year, maybe even time of day, what your parents' doshic constitutions are, and maybe even what they were eating as part of your entire conception. So there's so much that you can get really deep into the ideas and the thoughts. And then we have to fast forward into a lifetime or many years of how we've been treating our bodies, what we have been feeding ourselves nutrition-wise, watching, hearing, participating in, recovering from. And as I just mentioned, what we ingest, what has had to be digested in the body, the second brain being our gut, the bacteria and enzymes and flora, all that lives in the body that has to make accommodations for the type of nutrition or lack thereof that we are putting through our body. The things that prevent us from digesting food properly, such as stress, trauma, anxiety, other illnesses and ailments, and this holistic approach to try to create balance in the mind, the body, and the spirit, including our asana practice through yoga, meditation, and pranayama, all of that helping us to create a life that is really going to help us to be proactive and to mitigate or fight disease. Like increases like and opposites decrease each other. That is one of the two fundamental principles of Ayurveda. Like increases like, opposites decrease each other. Maybe even a principle of life and in a philosophical way as well. Now, I want us to talk about age. We discuss seasons, times of day in Ayurveda, days that are times of the day that are considered Vata, Pitta, and Kapha, times of the year, and how that affects your constitution. Remembering that each of the three constitutions, the doshas, live within all of us, with one or two being more prominent. For those of you who are tridoshic, having the ability to have the most ease in health and wellness. Recently, I taught a Vata doshic class to all of you, and we haven't done Pitta or Kapha, and I actually had someone ask me why, I think after the last session. And part of it is because Kaphas can benefit from enjoying a more vigorous vinyasa flow and just moving the body in general. And Pittas can really do something from any perspective as far as athletic to calm. It's the Vatas that tend to want to have fire in the belly and need to create more fluid in the joints. So we tend to, I think for lack of better thought, is move toward the things that are really invigorating. And the opposite of that is not moving at all. So it's like all or nothing type of mentality. Go hard or go home. And there's room for that in between, which is really what the Vatas need, and that the Pittas and the Kaphas too can benefit from. So a Pitta can very much benefit from taking it easy or revving it up. And the Kaphas will tend to take it easy, so can be encouraged to do more of a Vata practice or go really Pitta, athletic, you know, fire in the belly. So, and those are the common type of practices out there. So whether you're practicing vinyasa or relaxation, we're going to tend to move ourselves towards something that is more inspiring. And sometimes we need to take a step back. Now, if you need to be inspired, then those practices are abundant, right? It's harder to restore and relax when you need to do that than it is when you're just being lethargic or lazy or exhausted from life. So I hope that explains that as well. So let's discuss age. Ayurveda actually divides the human lifespan into three stages. At each stage, certain diseases and types of disease are more common. Childhood is the age of Kapha. Children's bodies are growing and building up their structure, so Kapha dosha is more prominent. Now, their bodies are soft and gentle, which are qualities of Kapha. They require more sleep than adults, and they are susceptible to Kapha illnesses such as colds and congestion. Now, adulthood exhibits more characteristics of Pitta. Adults are more competitive, aggressive, and ambitious than children. They work hard, they require less sleep, and they fall prey to Pitta type disorders such as colitis, gas, ulcers, things that are diseases of the gut, of that fire energy. Old age is the age of Vata. Elderly people sleep quite a bit less and their sleep is broken. They tend to get constipation, cracking and popping of joints, degenerative diseases such as rheumatoid arthritis and Alzheimer's disease, and suffer from forgetfulness, all characteristics of Vata dosha. So what this tells us is that our age and stage of life are actually factors that need to be considered in the choices we make to keep our doshas in balance and remain healthy. Elderly people, for example, should not engage in strenuous exercise, and if possible, they should minimize travel along with many other factors that increase Vata. They should favor a Vata balancing diet with more warm, moist foods, more oil, and less salad and dried fruit. So regardless of your dosha, if you're in an elderly stage of life, and then if you pile on Vata time of day, so early in the morning or late at night, or you also particularly pile on Vata seasons, you can quickly see, and even weather, you know, being somewhere that's cold. Now, this doesn't mean that just because you're quote unquote elderly, whatever that, notice that there's no particular age. It didn't say 65 or 85. It's more of when that time presents itself, when that season begins for you, you know, which is dependent over the longevity of your life cycle. So, you know, you might be 90 before the Vata increases in your mind and your body, for instance. Or you might be 55, right? Now, if you're already a Vata dosha and it's out of balance, then you will already be feeling some of these ill effects anyway. If you're really imbalanced as a Vata dosha, then chances are you're not feeling that cold, creaky, you know, dry, wrinkly vibration in the body and the mind, but rather you have learned to mitigate and minimize some of those effects, those ill effects of that dosha. So when that time or that season of the year or time of day or time in life tends to roll around, you're not susceptible to that energy, but rather you know how to combat that. So if travel is a big part of your life and your Vata dosha, or it's Vata season, you're traveling, maybe your Kapha or Pitta dominant, but you're traveling a lot in Vata time of year, in the fall, then you know to drink the hotter teas, to be more cozy, to meditate more, to slow down your practice of asana, so that you can balance the fact that you are really in this time of season. Same with Pitta or Kapha as well. So we'll talk about that. Now, remembering as well that when we think about what it is that we're trying to do, it can get a little confusing, right? Because you're figuring out what your prominent dosha is. Maybe you are Kapha and maybe it's Kapha season. So it's winter and also, it's Kapha time of day, and you know, you have all this Kapha energy, so you find yourself really just wanting to be vegging out and being around comfort, and you actually have to encourage yourself to be more active and be more productive physically and mentally, and you have to eat certain foods that inspire that so that you can have balance, so you're not leaning so far into Kapha. But maybe during Pitta time of day or Pitta season as a Kapha, you have more balance with your natural tendencies, natural state of mind. So it could get really complicated with the nuances, but ultimately the question is, are you feeling your best or are you not feeling your best? And if the answer is I'm not, I'm tired, I'm cold, I'm achy, my stomach hurts, my head hurts, I can't sleep, I'm sleeping too much, I feel depressed, I feel anxiety, then it's time to dig into that, right? So if you're feeling really depressed or lethargic and you are like, okay, I'm kapha or I'm pitta or I'm vata dosha, but I'm feeling so exhausted. Oh my gosh. When are you feeling exhausted? Is it a certain time of day? Is it at 3 p.m. during, you know, maybe a time during the day that you should be more creative instead of trying to be more of a perfectionist, or, you know, you're doing something that really requires a lot of a certain part of your brain, you know? Just taking note of what's happening in your life. And if there aren't any reasons that populate, you know, especially traumatic experiences, someone's passed away or someone's ill or you're ill, or there's not something that you need to just offer grace and gratitude to, then you can start to break down what's happening, you know. For instance, I was noticing that I was really just exhausted and just to the point where I was going to bed at like 7 p.m. and that's not normal for me. And then come to realize that I think I was just eating food that was really difficult for my digestive tract to move through my body. So it was just causing me to be really fatigued. And once I paid a little bit more attention to that and made a few changes, I noticed my energy level starting to pick back up. So, you know, rather that was a nutrition deficiency or vitamin deficiency, mineral deficiency, or just harsh on my digestive tract. The point is that I was starting to tune back into, well, what am I eating? What am I seeing? What am I watching? What am I hearing? What am I thinking? And just starting to make a connection that might be beneficial for my life, for my lifestyle. And then if you cannot figure out what's happening or there's so many things going on, just taking time, taking a step back, no pressure, and just starting slow. Just asking yourself some of the more simpler questions, such as how much water am I drinking? How much sleep am I getting? What time am I going to bed? What time am I waking up? How do I feel? Am I hungry? Am I skipping meals? You know, those are just basic things. And then the next questions can get deeper. What am I eating? Am I, you know, getting enough vitamins and minerals in my diet? Are there days that I feel better than others? Is there something going on that could be contributing to how I'm feeling, good or bad? What does it feel like when I'm feeling great? These are all things that are really beneficial that your Ayurveda practitioner would help you to go through anyway. You know, if we just got over a cold or we have allergies or, you know, you have an injury, these things are going to require a lot more production physically and maybe even mentally than you're giving it credit for. You know, have you been talking to people a lot? Are you not taking enough quiet time for self? Do you have too much quiet time for self to the point where you don't feel lively and energetic? All of it matters. So I think one of the things that we've been really theming on in these sessions is just asking questions and answering them, not necessarily feeling like you have to know the answer, but just opening up self-dialogue. Once you ask yourself a question, the answers will come from deep within, from your subconscious over time, and things will start to make sense. You'll start to be able to recognize stressors in your life, triggers in your life, and then you'll begin to know what you need. You'll understand what it feels like if you have too much spicy food and you're pitta dosha. You're feeling hot because you just went on a 3-mile hike in the middle of the day in the sun, in the deep part of the winter or the summer, you know, whatever it is. You'll start to pay attention to the energy that you are offering out into the world and that you're receiving back. You'll start to pay attention to your senses and what they feel like when you hear something, see something, go through something. You know, loud sounds, quiet sounds, family, loved ones, all of these things will increase or decrease all of the doshas. And then what does that mean for you, right? And so that is truly the beauty of understanding Ayurveda. Now, we do spend a lot of energy talking about nutrition because it's tangible, right? But sleep, environment, and the five senses are really important in addition to nutrition, in addition to, you know, the different medicinal factors of Ayurveda from a nutritional perspective. It's how do you feel when you're taking a bubble bath? It's how do you feel when you're wrapped in a cozy blanket? It's how do you feel when you are listening to loud noises? It's just investigative reporting of self. Even down to how do you feel when you tell the truth? How do you feel when you're not speaking your truth? As we started session one with the chakras, it's really just understanding, are you showing up in a high vibration as often as possible? And when the answer is no, are you able to identify the why? Are you able to get yourself back on track? What good is it to know that you need to eat cooler foods to cool down your pitta fire in the belly if you're constantly on deadline, constantly being a perfectionist, constantly involved in high intensity activities or seeing, hearing, listening to, participating in things that are also creating that fire? But how do we turn that into something that's more inspiring and comforting for that energy? How do you transform negative feelings, negative thoughts, negative emotions? This is how stress and disease really does develop. It's such a beautiful combination of all things. Rather it's the five senses, rather it is sleep, water, consumption, digestion, fiber intake, vitamins and minerals, you know, being preserved into the body and only the roughage being eliminated. It is your ability to properly eliminate. It's past traumas. It's present situations. It's truly a lifestyle. It's what is living in our subconscious mind. It is how we speak to ourselves on a deeper level. It's our true belief systems, the biology of belief. It's understanding if you understand what's being repressed, what you're able to communicate about, what and how you handle crises, your daily life. It is what is most important to you. So it's truly an evaluation of life and understanding how you can really bring this all together. One of the toughest things to do, whether you're working with others or with yourself, is to get so focused on just one part. It's like only focusing on asana or only focusing on pranayama. It's like, no, this is a system. There are eight limbs to this yogic system. I want you to think about life that way. It is a system of cohesion. It is a collaborative effort of everything. It can't just be one important part like nutrition, or you think you're getting great sleep, but you're not paying any attention to healing. You know, it's all of it. So I think I went on a little bit of a soapbox, but I think that's really important because we can get caught up in the particulars, and they are very important, but they're only as important as you take every other path to heart. So, the next thing I want to talk about is how we utilize the different options that we have medicinally. Now, there are lots of Ayurvedic remedies, so I'm not going to go into any depth about that. You know, rather it's putting ghee in your nostrils, you know, to kind of prevent colds and protect and create like a nice little boundary, or rather it's using meat for medicinal purposes or not using meat for medicinal purposes. There's so many things you can do, right? There's so many options depending on what's happening in your life, in your body, in your mind. But what is important to recognize and realize is A, there are many options. So there's a lot of studying and making the connection, connecting those dots for your life. But I think what's most important is what yoga teaches us, right? About acceptance and surrender. Not having attachment, non-attachment to the result. Understanding that we truly have a lot of ways of going about what's best for us. Paying attention to what you're most addicted to and most craving versus what you need. That could be true in anything. Craving excitement, craving sleep, craving peace, craving people. Just what is extreme? What is just that little step over a simple desire, right? Being one with nature, you know, trying to enjoy things fresh food, fresh water, fresh air, just everything being present, you know, not judging yourself if that's not always possible, but realizing that if you never go outside and take a walk, your oxygen will become stale. So that's true of food. That's true of everything. Realizing that a body that's in motion stays in motion. Your heart, it is a muscle. Raising your heart rate is exercising and building that muscle. And applying that 20% rule, where 20% of the time, don't worry about it. Enjoy, be, maybe even give in to a few of those cravings, but 80% of the time being mindful about your life. So, one of the things that I think is really important is keeping a journal, writing, observing, taking note, whatever is easiest, but having a point of reference for you to be able to see how far you've come, what you've learned, and what we quickly forget versus remember when we're making progress in our lives. It's really important to keep that balance as well. And being open to doing things differently than you have been, right? So again, that 80-20 rule, if 80% of the time you find yourself on the go, traveling, working hard, regardless of what dosha you are, if that's your lifestyle, regardless if you want it to be or not, that's where you're at. Try to make sure 20% of the time you're not doing that. Even if you are inherently attracted to to that energy. I know for me, I'm super attracted to being on the go, being on the go, being on the go, being on the go, traveling, moving, doing. And not from a pitta perspective of, I got to be the best, I've got to make this happen, I got to, you know, get things done, but rather from a vata perspective of just going with the wind, right? Being in the wind. And I've come to really appreciate kapha energy, you know, bubble baths, blankets, cuddling, being cozy, letting the breeze hit me, letting the sun shine, gardening, walking, relaxing, taking time away from being in my mind and my head, and not needing to worry about anything. Very kapha energy, like a baby, like happy baby, you know, just giggling and having fun and not being concerned, just living in that moment. And for a vata pitta person like myself, I'm more vata than pitta, but I definitely have pitta tendencies. Embracing that kapha energy is so peaceful. You know, vatas are in the wind, kind of a little scattery, can turn into anxiety, can turn into insecurities, can turn into just trying to keep busy for the sake of keeping busy. Pittas have that same energy, but it's a little bit more productive and directed and intentional. But both are just creating a lot of movement. So that kapha energy for either dosha can be very calming and peaceful. And similarly, the kapha that leans into that energy could really benefit from being inspired, being on the go, being on the move, right? So it's just figuring that out, but also being respectful of what doesn't make you feel good. If you're prone to being hot, you know, like pittas, maybe even some kaphas might be a little bit more easy to get heated, then don't go hiking in the height of the sunny day in the middle of summer, right? Go for a swim, do something cooling. Whereas a vata energy shouldn't be out in the freezing cold just because they're trying to get in that third mile of running for the week or whatever, you know? Sometimes we're just trying to make a to-do list happen and we're going against what would bring us most comfort and peace. I've come to realize that if I put peace as close to the top of my agenda on a daily basis, no matter what I'm doing, if I'm washing dishes or mopping the floor or doing laundry or at work or reading a book, taking a bubble bath, if I try to keep peace at the top of my mind, you know, asking myself, how can I make this experience more inspiring, enjoyable, and peaceful for me? You know, taking the most relaxing bubble bath in the middle of the most disruptive environment isn't going to be peaceful, right? If you had babies crying and people yelling and you only had 20 minutes, all of this is going to aggravate your mind and your body no matter what your dosha is. So better to do something that might enhance the peace in that environment by going with that flow. You know, trying to do a restorative relaxation class or asana practice in that same loud, confusing, disruptive environment, or while someone's vacuuming or jackhammering the road, is probably going to be counterproductive. And this sounds intuitive, but believe it or not, we spend a lot of time going against the grain. We inadvertently choose to do things when they would cause the most stress and aggravation. You know, we choose to find ourselves in rush hour traffic. Maybe we have to be, but maybe it's a choice. You know, going to the grocer when everybody is probably going to be there instead of when it's more peaceful and calming. Just whatever it is, you know, if your home is really loud from 4 to 6 p.m. on weeknights, that's probably not the time to read a book, take a bubble bath, or meditate, right? You meditate before the sun rises because the world is still. You don't vacuum your entire home at 2 in the morning, right? That's disruptive. You are already following certain inherent intuitive practices without realizing it. But imagine what you can do if you're conscious. Doing something really relaxing when you're on a time limit or a time budget is equally stressful. You know, trying to get something in before you have to do something else, very stressful. That's why they always say, you know, if you're running late, leave earlier. Don't get mad at the red lights and the traffic. Get mad at yourself. And that's a really good way to think about your Ayurvedic lifestyle. It's about creating an environment that makes sense. So, I am going to end today's session with that thought. I believe this concludes our Ayurvedic sessions. We've discussed so much, and hopefully I was able to leave you with some lasting thoughts that you can apply to your life, whether you know your dosha, understand it, or not. The fact is that we can all be creating a more holistic, peaceful, healthy environment and lifestyle for ourselves and those that we are responsible for as well. So let's take a moment. Let's let the shoulders relax out of our ears. Let's let our jaw relax. Maybe you'll find a smile on your face. Maybe you can feel the warmth of a hug around your body. And just congratulate yourself for being here, for taking part in this awesome series of Ayurvedic study. This is just the tip of the iceberg of so much beautiful information and way of rewiring the mind, the body, connecting back to spirit, and living a life full of inspiration and purpose. A life that is holistic and well, peaceful and intentional, and most importantly, being mindful of what matters to us. Being a student of our lives, figuring things out as we move along and course correcting when needed. Not trying to be perfectionist or get it all right all the time, but rather following that 80-20 rule, understanding that we don't know everything and we evolve with the changes of the seasons of our lives. It's beautiful and it's welcoming and accommodating. All we need to do is lean into that. Thank you, thank you. Go in peace. Namaste.
I
I am so honored that you are listening to the Love Breezy Bree Yoga podcast. Never miss an episode. Download the free app on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Spotify, or Stitcher. Please also rate the show with 5 stars. I would greatly appreciate that. Visit me on my website at lovebreezybreeyoga.com. I include free yoga sequences every single month. You can leave a comment or message me and we can connect. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful, wonderful personal practice. Namaste.